Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Blackmore Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. But this one from down south there, we're taking back that the Yidinji has its own stamps, it's developing its own global currency. It's not a cryptocurrency. It's very different from Bitcoin, the same technology or similar technology rather, but it's not like a Ripple coin or things like that. Hey, Bill and Gunn, welcome to Blackmore Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. We have the whole Starship Enterprise here. We've got Bumi, you're acting as Captain Kirk. Yirulum, I don't know all these characters anyway. Danyara, yeah, you can be Spock, your big pointy binner. And we have Vico, and we're going to have a really good yarn today. And thank you for joining us, and wherever you are listening to the show, I hope you're doing all right. And Your day's going okay, and that things are working for you. And it was good recently we had some mob from down south come up and pay a visit to the office to learn about sovereignty. I won't say where they're from, but they were really interested in the governance model of the Yidinji Nation, which is elders first, obviously. And, of course, we have the Chief Minister with us here who's Bumi, as you know, and he is one of our hardest workers, as well as the other elders and all the young ones coming through at the moment. I met with a couple of young Yidinji fellas on the weekend and had a good yarn to them about a few things here and there, and so that was been very good. But this more from down south there, we're taking back that Yidinji has its own stamps, it's developing its own global currency. It's not a cryptocurrency. It's very different from Bitcoin, the same technology or similar technology rather, but it's not like a Ripple coin or things like that. But it's definitely being developed to interface with the rest of the world when the time is right. And the time will be right very soon because the world's changing very, very quickly. So they were pretty impressed by some of the things that we did about 3 years ago now, to be fair. Constantly trying to go further and further to take the Yidinji name around the world because it is changing the world as we know it, not because Yidinji is better than anyone else, but it's the leadership here that is really it's the right time for the indigenous mobs around the world actually to show how we should be living rather than bombing and killing each other and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's where Ganyara, I'll bring you coming in on the weekend or thereabouts. There was the incident down south, I think it was in Melbourne, where they had anti-immigration and pro-immigration events on, and it got a little bit messy there. I think a couple of police got injured there or some people got injured, and that's not a good thing. I mean, Australia's full of history is full of violence, but even in the modern context now, even that's not good enough. You know, people should be a bit more, be passionate about things, but not really go over the mark. And that's, unfortunately, that's the system that they've adopted. And as we keep saying, the tribal ways is the way to do it because obviously it's a proved, tagged and tested on this land for thousands of years. And it's the original law.
Yeah, look, that's a really sad state of affairs, what happened down there, which really highlights to me the uneducated people of Australia. They are so, so, so uneducated. They're kept, I think, I've got a feeling they're kept intentionally dumb, kept intentionally uneducated about the true state of play on the ground here. Now, no copper should be hurt. Absolutely none at all, especially when I see this stuff that's going on. You know, there was the trains going back a year or two ago in Queensland where some coppers got shot. Then there was this stuff down in Victoria with this Desi Freeman. A couple of coppers get shot there. There should be absolutely no need for violence. If you understand the truth of the matter, there will be no violence. Now, I find this stuff the other day, the hypocrisy. It is absolutely, what a joke, total hypocrisy, that the boat people are complaining about keeping more boat people out. How stupid is this? Them boat people aren't here legally and lawfully. Now, I've had conversations with quite a number of academia about the Australian Constitution and its right to be here. And they know for a fact the Commonwealth of Australia does not have a legal or lawful ground to stand upon to be here. And if that's the case, then all the law goes back to all the sovereignty is still retained by the original people. Now, understand that sovereignty is the law to make, to control everything upon your territory. And then you get these boat people coming along protesting and hurting coppers. So they're showing to us that those boat people, and I'll keep calling them boat people, all Australians, are unlawful non-citizens. They're boat people. They're boat people on the country that belongs to the Aboriginal people. Now, those people are showing violence to those who are trying to control them. Now, why did they show violence? Are they worthy of being included into an Aboriginal nation when that eventually does come about? Because that will have to happen. The tribal people will have to do a treaty of some sort with, not that they have to, but they will, to allow the Australians to be here. Now, would violence be accepted inside the tribe? Absolutely not. This is the stupid part about it. These boat people are saying more boat people can't come. Well, if we want to do the proper thing, pack your boat up and go home. If you want to protest in Australia about any law at all that's not tribal, pack your boat up and go home.
Well, at least do it peacefully. I think every right, every citizen will have a right to disagree with something, right? But the point we're trying to make here is that if people are getting passionate about things, which is great, you know, people get passionate about football and everything else and even politics, but there's no need to go that one step further where you lose self-control and you become a law unto your own.
Go and read the UN Resolution 1514. I tell everyone, 1960, the UN Resolution 1514 says decolonisation is the way to go. The world must come to a speedy and unconditional, all forms and manifestations of colonialism must come to a speedy and unconditional end. Period. Finish. If the country doesn't do that, it's acting contrary to the Charter of the UN. The Charter that recognises Australia as something, but it's acting contrary to the Charter and it should be shunned by the rest of the UN member states. It must be shunned. But those Australians that are down there protesting about more boat people coming in are part of the game that's here acting unlawfully.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't it, Colin? I'll come to you after, but Yirralum, I'll put you on the spot now, Dr. Spock and Dr. Spot. And which way? I think it's one of those things where you're seeing it in the UK. I think Tommy Robinson is the man that's leading things over there, and there's other movements around the world where they're saying we want to take back our government and things like that. But really there's this greater picture that needs to be and that story needs to be told about the education part, especially over here. I mean, the point is that Australia is living on borrowed time, and it really is the tribes that have to step up to, I wouldn't say rescue it, but certainly put it back into order and look after everyone.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly the best solution from, you know, our perspective. The systems that call themselves democratic certainly have a voting system where people can voice their likes and dislikes, but the bottom line is there is no, I'm not aware, you know, Gagnari might prove me wrong on this one, but I'm not aware of any government system, democratic government system in the world that has a voting system to change the government system. It's stuck within it. You know, whatever the way that their particular government operates, that can't be changed. And that's where it's falling down, because it allows for so much corruption and with any connection to on one side, the economic world, which where a lot of the corruption in government comes from, and on the other side, the cultural world, which governments are interfering with things it shouldn't be interfering with, like health and education. This is what causes the downfall. So there is definitely a better solution, which is the Yidinji way.
Yeah, Gagnari, that's some wise words there. I think one of the things is that when we look at the way, and I don't want to blow the trumpet of the Yidinji Nation because it's not, you know, I'm not the high and mighty one here, but we haven't taken to the streets. We haven't taken arms or, you know, and we have every right to do that if we wanted to. When you look at movements, political movements like the IRA and all that kind of stuff, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I agree with the right for people to make their own decisions. However, sovereignty is one where the Yidinji people aren't not insecure about it. And we often talk about this with Kalna here, that when you've got the truth, you don't need anything else. You don't need a gun. because you should be able to logically and simply explain why your law is here and why you are the boss or why you're not the boss, for example.
It's not so much we have to prove who we are. Australia's already done it. They said yous are the boss. They said the Aboriginal people own the place pursuant to their law. Why not act like the owners? We don't need to take to the streets. They're our streets. We need to stand up and be heard and be counted. Not so much like, I'm glad Yirrkala brought up, how do you change a democratic government? They tried that the other day with the voice referendum. You can change it via referendum. But remember, the Aboriginal people make up 3% of Australia. So the 97% had to win that vote. Now, they had to win because it would be wrong if 3% could influence the rest, the other 97. Your real place is not to try and get a voice inside Australia, but get a voice through your foreign minister that's created on a government that's subject to the laws of the tribe. There's the important part, not taking part in Australia. That's why I keep saying the Australians are unlawful non-citizens. They're boat people. All Australians, including the Aboriginal people who want to take part through an Australian, that's a boat person. Pack up your law and send it back to where it come from. As in the resolution said, take all your law away. Take it away back to where it belongs over there. What do we got happening here? You know, we've got these boat people saying more boat people can't come in. You want to change it through the referendum. The Aboriginal people do not need to take part in that referendum because they know their law has always been there. And by the way, Australia proved it. We never had to prove it. They say in native title determinations, you own this land pursuant to your law. We don't need native title. We know we got our land. We don't need that. But all this is evidence, and evidence from the boat people that the true people are those who go back to their law. There's no other law too. Which then, you know, I'll ask Uncle, did Yidinji ever sign a treaty to sign away the land? Because I know Tableland have said no, there's been no agreement ever signed with Australia. What about down the bottom, old fellow? What about, have they signed away the land? Getting his confirmation from all the clans within the tribe that no one has signed the deal.
Yeah, no one's signed anything in their tribal capacity, let's say, which has to be done through the government. So, and I'll bring Bumi in because I think it's very important to hear from him. It's far more easier to work in the Yidinji government to make things happen than it is outside the government, inside of Australia, because you've got to go talk to this person and that minister over there or this person in an office over here. And sometimes it's very difficult for our mob to get around. And it's a system that they've been make. Yidinji didn't make that one.
Well, this is a good start off, you know, and as an elder for Yidinji, that, like I say, I see no movement. But there's movement with us, the right thing you will hit. And I know a lot of people have been fighting for land. I know what they're doing, but to see the people in the community to, we're not hunting them out, we want them to come up with us, but it didn't see one gribble, got Minmini to show him where all the camp is. He said, you tell them not in your language, their language, you tell them I got good news, but he didn't. He was in sheep and white clothing, wolf and white clothing. He even flogged the daylight out of them. And they died. Now, if Dad didn't get them dances, you cannot dance all day, but keep the culture going, keep the sovereignty going, what we're talking about now, you know, that's the right aim. But it seems like a dragon or a heavy net that... Well, people don't want to get their life dominated, but you're going to dominate them. You're going to, it's a force, you know. You see, Yarraba, I come back to Yarraba because my dad done a big thing for that place. He's not God, but he seen the right thing, what, you know, will take place, you know. Now, if they didn't give it up to that Minmini, I wouldn't have been here sitting there today. They could have cleaned us right up. I know. Went to Redland, Dad showed us when we was young, and come back to the mountain here, went back to Butterbury again. We had done a film of me. To lift up, to walk together. Because there's a lot of thing that I see is not right again with us now. There's a lot of thing going on, which you can't just sit down now because they've been trying to push a long time and all these lot used to fight for land right. You know, that was right, but I didn't want to jump in. And I did a little bit of talk one time ago, but I had them, all these lot used to fight for land, right? And but then I walked away. And when I went to some places there, Butterbadoo, and I'm sure that place can end up going soon because I see a lot of houses there in a swamp where flood be. I don't know how it's going to go. Well, Yoruba sits on a beach, and if you live near the hillside, you're right. It's going to be it's a really hurting thing. They're coming back to the hurt again. And I don't know where we, if you lot going to come. Your Aboriginal people got to come. See, when you don't come from the old people, that's going to be another strain, another pull, see? See, when you live that life and... Ah, look, they've been Richard Moon now, you know, come on, leave it. You're seeing the pink elephant all the time. All this thing come along now. It's got to be... I don't know how I'm going to handle it for that for them.
Well, it's a tough world because... As you were pointing out there, that you know, you're saying that man's been to the moon and all this kind of stuff, and sometimes not just here, but everywhere in the world, that old culture is being left behind now.
Left behind,
and people chasing this new things.
But see, a lot of people chase this thing now, the bitumen road car and turn a light on that, and they never lived that life, see? And they pull me down too, you know? Why don't you go back in the bush and. But we need you to come. You'll be running back too sooner or later, you know. Yeah, you know, what is NATO? Oh, I'm black now, and all this sort of stuff come along.
Yeah, I think. The old ways, colour. Just sorry to cut you off. Is very important because that is where the law is held, and the law is held there because that's the way before England was here, before 150 years ago. The elders passed the knowledge on to the younger ones who became elders, who passed it on to the younger ones, who became elders, and passed it on to the younger ones. Now the elders want to pass it on to the younger ones. Some young ones are there, obviously, but some others are sort of been all this little flashy light and everything else taking them away from the culture world, the real world.
Well, look, I'm glad he brought up Minmini. Glad he brought that name up. If you want to take part in Australia and you want to support Minmini, and they do because there's a bridge out there, the Minmini Bridge. He was the bloke that went over and bashed blackfellas. He was the one that took Gribble over to bash blackfellas, to bash Yidinji. And if you want to support Australia that's got a bridge in honour of Minmini, you absolutely support the genocide that took place, and it was genocide and murder that took place. We will kill them. We will steal their kids. We will steal everything off them. That's what Paul Keating said in 1992. We stole their land. We stole their kids. We done the murdering. And yet Paul Keating was not taken before the international courts because it shows that Australia and Aboriginal Australians that want to be part of that will support what Minmini done. Minmini didn't do a good thing by the Yidinji people. He was there to take Gribble over to kill off the Aboriginal people, to kill off Yidinji people. And that's why I'm glad he's... Uncle's great-great-grandfather and grandfather and great and ordinary father kept away from that. They didn't want to take part in that. And remember, we told the world that Land Council does not speak for us. That's going back, 13 years or 14 years ago. We said, Land Council, we're not part of your world, Australia. Because of all this sort of stuff, the hurt and the pain that's caused, which is highlighted by Minmini.
So I went down to Millicent and... They hear us on this radio and they were a letter, right? Like rabbits, you know, like it. They said, no, we don't want anything happening. We got everything right. It's rosy posy down here. Oh, they said, what? They really haunt us there. They tell the people, the Aboriginal people, now everything all right. Yeah, you know, they're probably giving them this and go, I said, oh, God, then you can't speak up there. I can't wave it. I can't be talking now, you know. I cannot put any down here. You know, that you can't, it's very, 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 the thing there. You know, you might get a look in there, go back in the shop again and see, oh, come on, where is this thing there? Yeah, like this, I went to Winton. Well, I'm going to go Winton, then Longridge, and you keep going. Then you hit that Millicent down the bottom of Australia. There's a town called Millicent. I've got to be careful of what I say too. It's a town called Millicent. When I went to Winton, I bought a shirt then. That lady said, how you going, mate? I said, everything all right. She said, Winton not here is down there with the old people out at Henry Sweden. I got a fright. I said, yeah. She said, yeah, that we had to shift it. There's a big lagoon there. And they put Winton up here. I said, thank you for that. And she wanted to keep on talking. But coming back to Longridge, they had a good talk to me there too, the Hall of Fame there. They had a good talk to me there. Even around town, I went to Bibinda yesterday. They was watching me. I was thinking, oh, gee, my name right there. This or them, I see my face somewhere, you know. They know what we're all about. Well, when you walk around in town, they say, that's a volunteer too. Look, that's a volunteer. They're talking about sovereignty. They want to get you off. So they're putting that word to stick it in a bit more, put the salt in it. They say they want us to go. They want us to go. But if they sit you down, you know, how would I go to that part?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's it's not an easy walk by any means. But like I said, there are people from down south that came up to visit because they had the same symptoms there. That's exactly what Carl Noah was talking about then is what they're experiencing in their own area, their own tribal area. So there has to be something that has to be done in a proper way. So the Yidinji government is not just made up out of thin air in terms of it was done through proper consultation through the elders and Ganyara, you were part of that. I wasn't. But I made sure when I joined, because I was asked to do it, I said, well, I need to see who's involved and make sure I'm not walking into a hornet's nest. And obviously those things are very important. And like I said, there's something wrong because the majority of Yidinji people are living in the poverty on their own land. The majority of Kunganji, Jabagai, Malambara, whoever it is, they are dirt poor on their own country. How can anyone explain that to me apart from a rotten system that came here 150 years ago that needs to decolonize?
Absolutely right there. You hit the nail on the head. They don't want the Aboriginal people to have stuff because they're the true owners. And you only become the true owner when you step out of Australia. They want to keep you in Australia for a reason. They'll put you up in light. Minmini, the big overpass with Minmini name on it. Oh, how good was that? They'll give you all these tokenistic bits of rubbish to stay inside Australia. Oh, look, he got the name there. No more. I'm actually glad you brought that up because the law has always been here. It always will be here. It will never go away. You know, even when we do pass away, and I'm glad you actually mentioned that at the very start of it all the elders got together and we spent years going around, the elders, going to everywhere we could to visit them and have these sessions with them, these conventions, to talk about the sovereignty. And everyone has said exactly the same thing. Sovereignty is not gone. No one signed anything. So that brings about then Australia is a sovereign citizen movement. There's no ifs and no buts about it. The Commonwealth of Australia, acting contrary to the international law, international rule of law, which it proudly displays on its Federal Attorney General website. We support the international rule of law. You do not support it because you won't abide by it. You are a settler colonial state. You are the ones bringing your pseudo-law rubbish here. You've brought it in here, not us. We know our law has always been here. So they're all the sovereign citizen movement, and they can't complain when they get all these splinter sovereign citizen groups break away and wanting to leave Australia. But guess what? The whole lot. Everyone, including Australia, is outside of law. They are becoming outlaws. They're outlaws at international law. Go and read article. Go and read the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People. Go and read Resolution 1514. The world must decolonise. Have they done it? No, they haven't. They said, oh, we'll leave the manifestation. Now, in the Chet Cuddy case in the High Court, they said when the Imperial Crown manifested itself to the right Crown and Right of Australia, there is the very word manifestation, which is contrary. You know, it's acting contrary to the Charter of the UN. So they're a terrible international citizen. And they're out on the world stage spruiking how great they are and we've got to recognise this and we've got to do that. Good go. You don't deserve a seat on the Security Council. You don't deserve to do a treaty with Papua New Guinea. You don't deserve anything because you are acting contrary to the Charter of the UN, acting contrary to international law, and yet you subscribe to be that. This is what these sovereign citizens do. We want the best part of the law, which is Australian law. We want to have the burst of it. We want to have Australian money. This sovereign citizen stuff is absolute rot, and it's got to stop because it's tarnishing the good name of the Aboriginal people who are letting the Commonwealth of Australia be here. It is letting them be here after all that's gone on, the murdering, the genocide that's taken place, the harm and injury that it's caused, and yet they're still tolerant enough to say, look, we need to do a deal with these Australian people to give them a homeland to come to. If they don't want that, where are they going to go? If they don't want to have a homeland, go back to where they originally come from, Pauline. And I'll say everything. Pauline Hanson is an Indigenous Australian. No ifs, no buts about it. Not because she's white or black or whatever. That doesn't matter. Her identity is Australian. Pauline, you're welcome to Australia. Have your Australian. Barnaby Joyce. I see Barnaby Joyce is wanting to defect to your world. Good. Make it one nation. Make it not on our country. If you don't have a legal agreement to be here, don't make it on our country. Take your country somewhere else and go and find a home, wherever that may be. But Australia has a sovereign citizen movement, and all of Australia is, because it's not abiding by law, it's an outlaw, is doing the wrong thing and it's setting the wrong example to the international world.
Yeah, it's like I said, this thing's growing up around the world. This uncertainty, and you know, I'm going to bring Vico in because obviously you're dealing with business communities and business people and family businesses and stuff. There is a genuine interest in wanting to do right, what's right, and it's important that. That they, people living on the Yidinji territory have access to what Yidinji is all about. And so I know that you talk to a lot of businesses. But that's obviously there's a lot of frustration around the world, but this is where Yidinji is very much different. You know, I know that Australia recognised Palestine, for example. They recognised Palestine before they recognised Yidinji, state of Yidinji. So that's saying something. Maybe they don't want that because, like you said, Yidinji own the land. They don't want to give it up. They just want to keep taking everything. But on another thing, Vico, is that that's a very important thing, that the Yidinji Nation stands up and lets the world know, including people that live here that may not have heard of it.
Yeah, look, it's really important about identity. So with part of identity, you need to be connected to the earth. A lot of people that are playing in the Australian system have been intentionally disconnected from their own land. So they don't have a connection to it, so therefore they don't respect what they walk on because they're not really connected to it anymore. But if you become a Yidinji citizen, you're actually directly connected to the sovereigns who have custody of the land. So you are directly connected. So automatically you would respect it more. If you respect the earth more, you respect yourself more. You respect yourself more, you respect your family, your community, and the wider people around you because you've got a deeper connection to something that actually has got connection to the ground. Now, with business, we've been increasingly disconnected by all the regulations that you have to comply with to provide safety. Well, why do you need to provide safety? Because they've been disconnected and they're not acting in a way that's morally aligned with the community to grow. Everyone's fighting each other because the money that they're generating, the energy they're putting into the business is being siphoned off faster than what they can generate it now. It's really hard in business because you've got all these roadblocks and regulations and in law enforcement that are pushing the Australian laws, stopping you from actually achieving, stopping you from contributing to your family and your community. So with the Yidinji sovereign government, we have much less restrictions on how you operate your business. You know, you're operating it so you can make a profit. What are you going to do with that profit? We're going to help your community. You're going to grow the community, and that affects everyone. Everyone becomes wealthy. Now, it's sacrilege to see what's happening in the communities because everyone is going into the same pile of poverty because of over-regulation. So regulations cost fees. There's enforcement officers that charge fees now. So if we can operate in a much freer environment business-wise and socially, then everyone can contribute. Everyone is respecting each other's space and do no harm, create no loss. You know, we can operate like that on Yidinji territory.
Yeah, I think the Yidinji laws would be suited to promoting businesses and growing it. I think Yirrlim, you know, I read this, I see it and I hear it. Oh, we acknowledge the traditional owners, elders, past and present, emerging future leaders. Yeah, we still kill them. We still shoot their kids and steal their kids, and we acknowledge them that they're homeless. And but you know, all this talk, but there's no—it's all lip service. There's no action. sure, there's a few mob that doing okay and doing well. But even then, they might be just looking after themselves, or they might be trying to help everyone, and it's very difficult because if you've got one wage, for example, and you're trying to look after 10 of your family or maybe more because it's extended, you're always getting hit for loan, this, that and the other. But that's what we're saying. It's that, that world hasn't changed. It's been like that since I was a kid. Deaths in custodies, people losing their kids to the government, all that kind of stuff has been happening. And I saw the light, let's say, so to speak, knowing that it was never going to change. That's why we come back to this, because it is putting valuable energy, time and effort. Carlo's here 3 or 4 times a week. He doesn't get paid to be here. He does it because he loves it and it's the right thing to do. The same with everyone else here. So what is that really then? And that's what I'm saying. It's more than lip service here. And you can see it with a lot of the homeless people when they come in. When we help them, their faces light up because they don't have to pay anything and they get to sit down here with us and come in and have a yarn and be heard or seen, or, you know, just have a bit of a chin wag, whatever it is. But that's what this is all about. It's not just about money or pointing the finger at the system. It's about actually coming up with an alternative that is based on the original law.
Yeah, of course. And one of the foundations of the original law is that there's no isolation. It's everybody together. You can't have somebody doing well and someone not doing well. That's never happened in 30, 40, 50,000 years. How far you want to go back? That's just not how it works. And so that's what Yidinji brings in to the world, is the realization that that's how we've got to live together. You know, Yidinji isn't here for Yidinji people or Aboriginal people or Australian citizens, or it's here for everybody. It doesn't separate people out because of anything to do with skin colour, which is what we're seeing happening all over the world. It's about all of us moving forward together, and that's what the Yidinji system's about. You know, Ginyara pointed out before that, you know, they had a referendum to change the system. Well, no, that didn't. Referendums don't change systems. I already found that out. That's why I'm here. Referendums might change a law or add a law, but the system remains the same. If you want to change the system, let's talk about changing taxes. Get rid of all taxes and have one tax. Get rid of all costs of healthcare so everybody has free health. Get rid of all education costs so everybody has free right to education, and work a system that works that way.
Yeah, and Connor, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. See, like Gimoy now, that big picture, I've been up there the other day there, and they're hiding that photo. See, one, like more of a say, when anybody come here, they're coming here because they're getting bullied up down here. So we give them a card, you know, and they can say that I'm sovereignty. I'm with Murmur, Gangada, and Yerlam, and all of us here that I'm a sovereignty Aboriginal. So we give them a card now. We can't brand them. So that's what Dad, that big picture, it's a big thing for you, didn't you, people? It was a meeting place. It was a helping place. But they wanted to wear that tree. I said, where's the photo? That's all you got to see the council. You got to see this. You got to go left. You got to go right. I said, I don't know whether to go left or right. I said, stop passing me around. I said, where's that photo? I said, I want that photo. Got to stay here. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's they keep changing the goalposts. And I know that, for example, some people that I talk to who want some of their language or information about their family, if I actually could go down to museums or down to Canberra to try and get that out. And sometimes the paperwork, Ginyara, is so difficult that it's discouraging people from going down that track, you know.
Oh, very much so. They don't want you going down that track. They definitely don't want you going down that track, because when you go back to there, your nation is the true and correct owner of the place. Not the individual. Not the individual. This is very important to understand, because the individuals come and go, but the land and the resources are owned by the nation. Now, which comes back to a rather interesting point, you know, when we met with a couple of politicians going back, what, 8 years ago, the conversation basically said, look, we have the right to cede sovereignty if we want. There's no treaty. We got the right to cede sovereignty. They go, yes. Because they're lawyers, they go, yes, you can. We haven't done it, but yes, you can do it. You have this right. What would happen? The next thing was said, well, what will happen when we cede it to North Korea? They said, we can't stop you doing that. We cannot stop you ceding your sovereignty to North Korea, which would mean that the North Korean flag will be raised on the flagpole here. What's Australia going to do when that happens? How's that going to work? You know, this is what Australians don't realise. These Australians have no legal right to be here. And we can cede it to wherever we like. North Korea, America, England, Canada, New Zealand, anyone. Because we don't want to act in the international world ourselves. Even though it's been told to us in no uncertain terms, we have the ability to create legal persona, international legal persona. Do we want to do that? Not quite just yet. So if we want to create our own international persona to go and interact with the international world, we can. But it's much easier to make it one entity. Probably Australia would be the best because they speak English. But remember, we got the right to do that, and Australia can't stop us doing that. They said, we cannot stop you doing that. Don't do it just yet, please. It was told to us by a woman from the Federal Attorney General's office. You have every right to go into a treaty with China. Now, that's going back 3 years or 2 years, 2023. It was down in Canberra. At the ANU, it was said to us, you can do that. We said, we don't want to do it just yet. That would mean everyone inside our territory would have an international persona called China. All the Australians would become Chinese. They'd have to either leave or become Chinese. That would bring in their law, and Australia cannot interfere with it. Think of the consequences of what Australia is doing. That's why I'm saying don't go down this sovereign citizen rubbish. You want to focus on getting Australia into line to go and do deals. Otherwise, some of these mob, and I mean some of these mob, might be influenced by money, by power, to go and do a deal with China. So let's look at Pine Gap, for example. Big American spy base. What would happen if the Aranda mob said, we want to do a deal with the British or with China? China will have every right to come in with their military and seize that Pine Gap because Australia had no right to sign it away. It did not have the legal tenure. And it's assigning something that it didn't have possession of, which is crazy.
Well, you just got to look at the complications already in the Darwin port, for example, a Chinese-owned facility or operated facility. There's an American defence base there and other interests as well that are quite... when you're looking at today's global climate in terms of the geopolitical context, that could be a powder keg in the near future.
Absolutely so, and that one there is very dangerous because all fuel coming through the port of Darwin through the Chinese company is being monitored. So say the Navy want to bring fuel down, they'll be bringing diesel in and want to store it. All of a sudden, the Chinese have got access to intel that said there's the American Navy boats to come because of the diesel. Or they want to bring Kero in, jet fuel. Oh, they're bringing in jet fuel. Oh, you mean the planes are coming? You mean the American planes are coming to burn that kerosene up or it's pumping out? They're going the other way. Chinese intel will have all that. Now, how smart is that? You're trying to argue with Asia, and yet you've got you don't have the legal right to have this Chinese intelligence gathering mechanism in place. This is what I'm saying. If the Australians cannot realise how vulnerable they are, because it only takes... Well, let's go to another example. The drug cartels with open arms, with bundles of money. And they come in and said, we will come and support you. We'll bring all the international arms in that you need to defend yourself. We'll bring money and guns and we'll do a deal with the locals. How about the drug cartels want to come in and do that? Can Australia stop that? No, legally they can't because they don't have the right to do anything. This is how stupid it is. They do not have the right to do anything to stop the drug cartels coming in because the sovereignty is retained by the original Aboriginal people there. They're the ones, like if they come and saw Yidinji, for example, said, we'll bring in $100 billion US cash and we'll bring in arms so you can defend yourself. We'll bring in a standing army so you can be part of it all. You can defend yourself from the Australian army. How crazy is that? Then there is a proper conflict going on, but who has the legal right, the lawful right to do what? This is how stupid it really is. And this is why I keep saying, it gets me annoyed to see all this sovereign citizen rubbish when this is the very problem. And we sent this off, by the way. I sent this stuff to some very high-ranking people in Australia, beginning of last year? What's happened? It's crickets. It's dead quiet. Because Australia know that they don't have the right to do this. They've told us years and years ago, they do not have the right to stop us doing what we want to do. Why? No treaty. It was an act of settlement that got here, not terra nullius, an act of settlement. There wasn't an act of conquest. Someone moved into a house and didn't have the right, and they haven't gone home yet because they were told in 1960 to go home. And they couldn't even do that. So as international actors are terrible actors, they don't deserve anything, and they've got to be very careful of where they go next because I tell you what you said, the geopolitical world, it's getting very close to a bit of a major disagreement, and Australia will be left wide open.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that people may not realise is that the Yidinji Nation eldership knows the value of peace. So not only that, when we try, say we're here every day of the week nearly, right, it's not for one Australian dollar. No one here gets paid Australian money to do this job, like taxpayer money or a public service job. No one here gets paid money to do it. We do it because, one, we want to advance the Yidinji Nation and put it back in its rightful place. Two, there's other people here that may have no say in where they were born or whatever, and the tribe and the elders said, no, we've got to look after them too. Doesn't matter if they're white fella, black fella, Japanese, it doesn't matter. But as Carlin says, you all got to come under one. And this is why it's very important, Colin, that your father and grandfather were the ones that were already doing that. So for you, it's easy to think like them because that's how you're brought up. But it's also, it doesn't mean it's easy for us to get everyone. It's not, because everyone want to go and do our own thing too, because they've been taught that's the way.
Yeah. Well, I thank Murumu yesterday. Thank you for the good work that he done on the mic and with us and Kangaroo, Yurulam and all our Haralot. And see, they heard a good voice from us. And we've never been like a preacher, but we've been talking about the rights of the people, like of dad people, like the Yidinji people. They were very good too. They know to, you know, dodging a lot of stuff, but they caught up with them and dad looked after the people. So they left us now to continue. See, like I said, God can bring them back to life and say, you never do anything, you know? And God, he can do it, you know? But we're not forcing God. But see, now, what I've got now, excuse me, see, like, I've got a lot of other friends with me, put it that way. And they know that I'm right. And they're with me. And nobody's going to take them away from me. But I want you to come too so they can talk to you. They're not going to come with you, come with your place with white socks or a riding letter down. And they're going to pull with you. If they play up here, we will pull them in here, his mob. And I always said that. I said, we stay with Uncle and we'll go along, you know. So they never... We had a little bit, we could have a little bit of ups and downs, but we come back in line again. That's how I want all your lot to come to, my lot to come to be sovereignty. You know, the old people, they were in sovereignty, they had their law, you know. So if we gonna just don't come, well, you know, you'll let us down. And that goes for everybody in Australia. You know, you come from them things, come from your granny and your papa, see the hard work. You must have seen an old fella. Well, I got an old fella by my granddad, and you know, they're alive and they want you to stand up too. You may be standing up before me, but you know, when you come from them thing, you come from the thing, you should come in too. We're not dominating your life, but come in, you know. You never know what goes on, gonna break, you know.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break, some final comments.
G'day, guys. This is Paddy Mills here. Stay strong to the youth. You're listening to 98.7.
Yes, it's going very quickly, the show today, and we might have some final comments. We'll go with Yurulam first, and Vico, then Colner, then and Ganyara. But Yurulam, I can't say it enough that the Yidinji way and the culture way, like not just Yidinji, I'm not saying we're building it up because we're here, but the Yidinji people are fantastic in their own right, the same way the Yalanji people, and everyone's got this fantastic ability to lead and to, you know, and the law is still alive, and that's because these people are living here, walking around, and everyone has a bit of information that they can pass on that paints a bigger picture for everybody. And but it's a really a wonderful thing to see, because I think that knowledge is very much missing. The culture is missing from the Australian system, let's say. But people can come in here now and learn about it and be part of the Yidinji story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that offer is always there from us for anyone to come in or contact us and support them on their sovereignty journey. You know, of course, there's more than 250 nations on this continent that are unique and yet all share the same thing that Yidinji is putting forward, and that is, you know, it's coming together. It's about being together. It's no separation. It's oneness, and that's one of the beautiful parts of it.
Vicar, some words of encouragement and observations from yourself.
Look, I would encourage everyone to stop being a free spirit and just floating above the ground. You need to be connected to the country. You need to be connected with the earth. And I think the Yidinji Nation gives that security, knowing that you are part of the whole community and not just floating around and in some identity that someone said that this is who you are. We give you that solidarity of being connected to the earth, and I encourage you to check out yidinji.org and reach out to the government and become involved and be connected.
Yeah, well done. And Bumi, some final words for family, friends, and even the mob in Millicent listening.
Okay, good day, Carl.
Yeah, well, something just go away and cut it, come back with. Yeah, well, want you to have a good day and take it easy. Not take it easy, but come, I need you, you know. I'll come to Yarrabo one day. You see me, from Dad and Mum Law, like you know where my mum come from. He must edit it, rewinding it, rewinding. Okay, I'll keep on rewinding. Georgetown is a long walk. And a lot of them in Corandum, Reba, Monomona Mission, and I know the mob up there. And coming down here from Redlands right through, my dad is an elder of the Yidinji tribe. And see, what did Uncle say? Like, if any big people come up with me, like the law, like the people in council or whatever, these architects, they'll say, well, you're going to go see Uncle, this is land. Even my son-in-law said it. Well, you go see him. This is his land. You can't tell me to put my, shut my brand up or anything like that. He said, well, I'll go and get him. So what I got to do that day, when the detective came to my flat, knocking on my door, who put them on the road? I said, I did. I said, we got an office, but it didn't come here. See, when you come with us, then you could talk on your behalf of your home or your land where you're staying, you know? When you mentioned sovereignty, if they still going, they say, oh, well, I'll ring Uncle up. Because they know who we are, because we do a play with the police station there, where they put their cloud down and a wig, and we put our shield or a boomerang or a calico on that, on their clot. And I mean, that's open. That's a daytime thing. It's open eye for them. And yeah, so you know, yeah. Well, anyway, have a good day. And yeah.
Yeah, it is a very wonderful thing. And, you know, the judiciary knows that that the Yidinji Nation is here, obviously. Gunyara, the people that work in the Supreme Court of Queensland, they weren't born yesterday, so to speak. And with all due respect to the men and women that work there, they are showing leadership where the Australian executive may not be. And, you know, hats off to them. They'll always... be welcome, let's say, but there needs to be that true settlement and securing the future for all.
Yeah, look, most people say, oh, he's a cranky old bugger. No more. I'm operating in the science of law. People got to understand this. This is not targeting humans directly. The Australian individual human, I'm not targeting them. What I am targeting is a whole system in the science of law where everything is just all man-made. It's all in the minds of men. Now, the humans have got to stop wasting their time participating in something that's got no right to be here. They've got to come over to the Aboriginal people and go, oh, geez, we better help you get established. We better help you get your law back. Otherwise, we're going to get done like a dinner. Someone will sell out to North Korea. Someone will sell out to China. Someone will sell out to Venezuela. Now, they're a pretty corrupt country. How would it be at the Venezuelan flag flying here? You know, people got to understand this. And we're doing this for nothing, not one penny, no taxpayer dollar. So we're doing this for the interest of Australians who are too busy wasting their time and effort doing other rubbish, which gains absolutely no security for Australia. People have got to stop. And The most valuable thing that a human has is time. Time and effort. Don't waste your time and effort on something that leads you down some rat hole that makes you an outlaw. And I mean this with Australia as well, the Commonwealth of Australia. They're doing exactly the same thing. Because ultimately they've got to prove their case. And I actually asked them for it one day, where's your doctrine? They said, we don't have one. Which means they've got no right to talk sovereignty. The only people who can talk sovereignty are in the room. They are the true and correct owners, you know, under their law. You know, that's where the ownership is. The country is owned by the nation itself. In our case, it's Yidinji. Guess what? Every other Aboriginal nation owns the country that the Australians are on. And the Australians on that bit of country need to go and see the local elder and say, look, if we want to sort out the mess we're in and stop all these boat people coming in, we need to get the okay from the elders to revitalise the government, and then they can go forward and tell Australia, don't you let anyone in, because that's Australia's role, is that international law. But if the elders say, oh, we want to let all the Indians in, that's good. They can come in. Australia can't stop it. So understand the position that Australia has left itself in because it's acting contrary to the charter of the UN. It's actually not a very good place to be. And the Australians wasting their time and effort trying to do something in Australia are not getting any more security for Australia. Just think about what we're saying, that this is now all in the science of law, all in the minds of men.
Yeah, that's it for today's program. Gaya Baragalanyundu, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to the show. Remember, you can't serve two masters. You've got to either serve the creator, God, or you've got to serve mammon. Mammon is the world of money and riches and this, that, and la-di-da. And that's why we're very, very clear about which side we serve in here, and that's Gayabara. And so when you understand where we're coming from, then you know where we're coming from. So anyway, we'll catch you next week. Culling.
Open up my heart to relieve the pressure. Building on my chest. Once an invitation for you to unload your stress. Life without meaning, a vessel without a soul. Euphoria is finally achieved when we all just lose control. So take it easy and take it easy. Here we go right now. I can't believe my life because it's heading in the wrong direction. And how many brothers out there getting lost in an intersection? I can't believe my woman just left me all alone. And even though I got four walls, this house doesn't really feel like home. She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off. A little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit, 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 just a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit of rum and a coffee mug.
We all want freedom deep in our souls. Should've got my stuff together many, many moons ago. Stimulate your mind and finally run free. Embrace your life and love and live in peace. Mother Earth's so fragile, you gotta take care of her. And we all just people, people that share this earth. In the blink of an eye, it could be gone. We all socially connected, artificially creating bonds. Future for the children needs more than likes and shares.